There is, brothers and sisters, a disease that has infected the whole human race. It's called sin.
Dr. Tony Evans says that disease is far more deadly than the coronavirus, and only Christians can deliver the cure.
The vaccine is the good news that the sin issue has been dealt with by the blood of Jesus Christ.
This is The Alternative with Dr. Tony Evans, author, speaker, senior pastor of Oak Cliff Bible Fellowship in Dallas, Texas, and president of the Urban Alternative. Salvation is a gift, but it comes with a responsibility to pass along the good news we responded to ourselves. Let's join Dr. Evans as he helps us explore ways to do that.
Suppose you were a world-class physician, and you discovered that there was a disease that had infiltrated the human race, and every man, woman, boy, and girl had been affected and infected by it. In fact, after a blood test that you take on yourself, you've discovered that you too have been infected by this tragic illness, and that this disease is in fact terminal, so that every man, woman, boy, and girl who now has been affected by its spread is doomed. You put all of your scholarship to work and you come up with a vaccine that you think might work. You inject the vaccine into yourself or the antibody, and you wait and you wait and you wait, and lo and behold, the virus disappears in you. You are now totally, completely healed. Would you think at that point that you would have an obligation to let everybody else know that you have a cure? Would it be wrong for you simply to inject the vaccine or the antibody into yourself, become well when everybody around you is terminal? What would you think about a person who did that, who said, I have a cure that can fix every man, every woman, every boy, every girl, but now that I'm all well, I really don't have to worry about everyone else? That person would be the lowest of the low, wouldn't they? That person would be despicable, who would only be concerned about themselves. There is, brothers and sisters, a disease that has infected the whole human race. It's called sin. And it's affected every man, every woman, every boy, and every girl, and it is terminal. However, there is a cure. The cure is the blood of Jesus Christ. Most in this room, if not all, have injected the vaccine and have received the Savior and have been forgiven by the blood. Now my question, what would you say about a person who was cured from a terminal disease and would keep it to themselves? That's exactly what we do when we fail to witness. When we fail to share Christ, we fail to offer the vaccine for a terminal disease that has affected and infected every man, every woman, every boy and every girl who has lived, is living, or ever will live. I want to say three things about sharing Christ. The first thing is the message of sharing Christ. What exactly are we sharing? What are we to say? How do we reduce it to its sine qua non? That is, its irreducible minimum. What's the core message that is our message if we have received the cure that we should be sharing that other people might be made well? Paul gives it to us in 1 Corinthians 15. He writes to the Corinthian church, whom he had visited in about 50 A.D., whom he now writes in 55 A.D. So there's a five-year gap between when he was there physically and when he writes this letter back to them. So writing 5 years later, he says to them, "Now I make known to you, brethren, the gospel, the good news, which I preached to you, which also you received, in which you stand, by which you are saved, if you hold fast the word which I preached to you, unless you believed in vain." He starts off by telling them that the message that he had declared to them when he was with them is the message that he is continuing to hold on to now. "I am making known to you now what I preached to you then," 5 years ago. "And when I preached it to you then," 5 years ago, "you received it then," 5 years ago. "But not only did you receive it 5 years ago, it's held on to you up till now." Perfect tense. Past action with abiding results. So he boxes them in to the gospel, the good news. He says, "I'm going to tell you now what I told you then. When I told you then, you received it then, and it's held on to you up till now because it's in which you stand." So this gospel is his consistent message that when they embraced it, held on to them. He now gives the message. "For I delivered to you as of first importance," this comes first, "what I also received. Christ died for our sins according to the scriptures. He was buried, and that he was raised on the third day according to the scriptures. And he appeared to Cephas and to the 12, and then he appeared to more than 500 brethren at one time, most of whom remain until now, but some have fallen asleep," we would say have died. He gives the message of the gospel. What is the message of the gospel? What is the message that you and I should be sharing with brothers and sisters, mothers and fathers, cousins and uncles, neighbors and co-workers? It is the good news of the death for sin and the resurrection of Jesus Christ. The vaccine for this terminal disease is the good news of the gospel that we should be sharing, and its content is Christ died for our sins. Christ did not die simply to be a good example. He did not die simply because he was a great man and martyr. He did not die simply because he was misunderstood. He says that the message we preach is that Christ died for your worst disease, for our sins. Why is that important? Because it is sin that separates men from God. It is sin that causes men to die physically and die eternally. It is sin that brings about the terminal declaration by a holy God. And only Christ can deal with sin. And so he says that Christ died for our sins. Now please notice that the message we share centers around a person, not a program. It centers around Christ. It is a focus on a person. The word "our," or the word "for," is very important because it tells us why he died. He died as a substitute. He died in our place. That is the centerpiece of our message, is the cross. And the centerpiece of the cross is a person. Christ died, and the reason that he died is not for bad habits, mistakes, but he died for sin. He says, now there are two ways that you know Christ died. The first way you know Christ died, he says, is verse 3, it is according to the scripture. His appeal now is to the Old Testament. He says Christ died because the Bible says so. He appeals to the written record of God as his authority. Let me tell you something. Never apologize for the Bible. The word of God is sharper than any two-edged sword, piercing down into the division of even the immaterial part of man, soul and spirit, don't apologize for the Bible. It has inbred, inbuilt authority. I like the way Martin Luther said it. He says, the Bible is like a lion. You don't have to defend it. Just let it loose. It can handle and take care of itself. Don't apologize for the Bible. Way back in the Old Testament, Isaiah said about the servant of the Lord, Christ, that he was wounded for our transgressions and bruised for our iniquities. The chastisement of our peace was upon him. By his stripes, we are healed. Jesus Christ appeared in the Old Testament, but he died according to the scriptures. That way back before he ever became a baby in a manger, the prophecy of his death, and even way back before then in the garden or just outside of the garden, he shall crush your head even though you will bruise his heel. Genesis 3:15, a proclamation or prophecy of the death of Christ according to the scriptures. One of the reasons why this message is true is because it was prophesied thousands of years before the events. Don't apologize for the Bible. However, he says, we not only know it's true because the Bible says it, academic proof, I'll call that. He says there's also empirical support. Because he says at the beginning of verse 4, he was buried. The burial was because he died. They put him in a tomb because he gave up his life. After paying the price for sin, he died. The way you know he died is he was buried. So he says you've got biblical proof on one hand, empirical proof on the other, and of course this was spoken by a man who knew full well what happened to Christ, being part of the Pharisaic order. But that's not the full gospel. That's not the only message that we share.
Dr. Evans will come back in a moment to tell us about another vital component of the gospel message. First, though, I want to tell you about Tony's brand new book, Experiencing Israel. This large, coffee table-style book will take you through the streets, hillsides, and doorways that Jesus visited while he walked the earth. In addition to the stunning pictures that'll make you feel like you were there, Tony will provide you with insights into the history, culture, and people of the Holy Land, giving a rich background to your study of God's Word. We'd love to send you a copy of Experiencing Israel. So for a limited time, it's yours with our thanks when you make a contribution supporting The Alternative. As a bonus, we'll send it to you along with all 7 messages in Tony's current teaching series, Pursuing Christ. It'll help you develop a deeper, stronger bond with the Lord as you learn more about who He is, what He cares about, how to respond to His love, and much more. Just visit TonyEvans.org to take advantage of this special limited-time offer. Or call us at 1-800-800-3222, where a member of our resource team is waiting to assist you. I'll repeat that information later on. So stay with us.
Pastors, your church needs you. Week after week, you are needed to inspire, encourage, teach, and lead. It can be exhausting. And Dr. Tony Evans knows that the demand can wear you out. That's why he's created the Kingdom Agenda Pastor Summit, 2 days for you and your wife to connect, relax, and be inspired to continue to do what God has called you to do. Oh, and did I mention there's a special session just for your wife? Register at KAP2020.com.
The gospel must include the resurrection, because the resurrection is the proof that the payment of the cross was accepted by the Father. How do we know that God the Father accepted the payment of God the Son for you and me? The way we know that the payment was made is that a receipt was offered. When you go to the store, buy something, they give you a receipt to confirm payment. Guess what? The resurrection is the receipt that the payment had been accepted and made. Jesus said on the cross, tetelestai, it is finished or paid in full. God says, here's the receipt, an empty tomb. If Jesus rose from the dead, everything else must be true. If he did not rise from the dead, then nothing else is true. It is all or nothing. It is not halfway. For Jesus to be a good example is to insult him. For Jesus to be a great prophet is to insult him. For Jesus to be a wonderful teacher is to insult him. A young man came to Jesus one day and said, good master. Jesus said to him, why do you call me good? There is none good but God. So before we go any further, young fella, decide on who I am. I'm either no good or I'm God. But there is no middle ground with regard to Jesus Christ. By virtue of the resurrection, he arose vindicating, payment was made for sin. And we'll see the implication of that in a moment. But that's the message we're sharing. That's the message Paul shared with him 5 years earlier. It is the message he has received. It is the message he gives us to share. How do we know he arose from the dead? He says, according to the scriptures. His appeal is to say, the Bible prophesied it, and we validated it. Where did the Bible prophesy it? In Psalm 16, verses 8 to 11, David talks about his body, the body not decaying, and him rising up. And look what Peter says about David's statement in Acts chapter 2. Turn to Acts chapter 2, where we'll pick up Peter referencing Psalm 16, verses 8 to 11 in his sermon. In Acts chapter 2, beginning with verse 25, here's what we read. For David says of Christ, of him, I was always beholding the Lord in my presence, for he is at my right hand, that I may not be shaken. Therefore my heart was glad and my tongue exalted. Moreover, my flesh will also abide in hope, because thou wilt not abandon my soul to Hades, nor allow the Holy One to undergo decay. Thou hast made known to me the ways of life. Thou wilt make me full of gladness with thy presence. Now look at what Peter says about quoting this passage. Brethren, I may say confidently to you regarding the patriarch David that he both died and was buried, and his tomb is with us to this day. If you want to see some bones, you can find them. And so because he was a prophet and knew that God had sworn to him with an oath to seat one of his descendants upon the throne, he looked ahead and spoke of the resurrection of Christ. He was neither abandoned to Hades, nor did his flesh suffer decay. This Jesus raised up again, to which we are all witnesses. He says David wasn't talking about David. His body rotted in the grave. He said David looked forward to that day when his descendant, Jesus Christ, would be risen from the dead. Not only is it prophesied in the scriptures, but notice what he says in verse 5. He appeared to Cephas and then to the 12 and then to more than 500. What does that mean? There's not only academic proof, biblical, there's empirical proof. Peter's saying, I don't only believe this stuff because I read it in a book. Peter says, I saw it. One of the great proofs of the resurrection is, why would you give your life for somebody who you knew was still dead? If he died and you knew he was still dead, why would you give your life? Peter was hung upside down. Paul had his head chopped off. The disciples were slain and slaughtered. Why would you do that if you really didn't see him? He says the proof is in the Bible and the proof is in what we saw. He gives two proofs. Biblical proof and empirical, verifiable, touchable, flesh and blood proof. He gives it for the death. The Bible says he died. He was buried. The Bible says he arose. We saw him. In fact, It was not a figment of my imagination, he says, because 500 of us were there at the same time. Now, I may be hazy, but there were 500 of us there, and we all saw him and talked to him. And, of course, that was on the mountain in Matthew 28, the Great Commission. So, evangelism has at its core a message. The death for sin, your terminal disease, your mothers, your fathers, your sisters, your brothers, your aunts, your uncles, mine the same, are dying. They have a disease in their soul that is killing them and that will take them to eternal abyss unless you inject a vaccine. The vaccine is the good news that the sin issue has been dealt with by the blood of Jesus Christ. But let me give you one other element before I move on. You have not shared the gospel unless you do it with the intent to convert the hearer to faith. It is not enough to say, John, Jesus died for you and he arose for you. Think about it. It's not enough. Just like it's not enough for a doctor to hold up a needle and says, I got good news. In this needle is your cure for the disease that you have. Think about it. That's not good news. That's only partial good news. It's only good news when I inject it. Jesus said to his disciples, come and I will make you fishers of men, not throwers of lines. There's a big difference between throwing a line and putting bait on it. If you throw a line and there's no bait on it, you're going to be fishing a long time. And the reason why many of us haven't led people to Christ is that we will say Jesus died, we'll say he arose, but we won't hook anybody. We won't reel anybody in. The people should know that the reason I'm telling you Jesus died for sin and the reason I'm telling you he arose is because you have a tragic disease that is going to take you into an eternal abyss unless you receive this injection of the blood of Jesus Christ that you might be healed. Now, do you want the remedy? Until you get to the point where you call for a decision, you have not presented the full gospel.
If you're ready to receive that vaccination yourself, Tony would love to tell you how to do that. Visit TonyEvans.org today and follow the link that says Jesus. You'll find answers to your questions, a simple prayer that can change your life, and free follow-up resources. And while you're there, check out how you can get a copy of Tony's current 7-part CD series, Pursuing Christ, which includes today's full-length message with additional content we didn't have time to share with you on the air. As I mentioned earlier, it's available right now as our gift to you, in appreciation for your donation toward Tony's ministry, along with a special bonus, his brand new book, Experiencing Israel. This beautiful, high-quality hardback filled with stunning photos and insightful commentary will become a cherished keepsake for your personal library, and it also makes a wonderful gift for a friend or family member. Visit TonyEvans.org today to get all the details before time runs out on this double offer. Again, that's TonyEvans.org, or call us at 1-800-800-3222. Our resource center is open 24/7. That's 1-800-800-3222. There's plenty of bad news in the world today, but some of the worst news is that we're not sharing enough of the good news. Dr. Evans says that can change, and he'll give us more details tomorrow. For now, though, he's back with a quick summary thought for today.
Now, many of you have told people you believe in Jesus. Many of you have said, I believe he's risen from the dead, but have you called for a decision? If you haven't called for a decision, you're not finished yet. So it's not enough simply to say Christ died for your sins and rose from the dead. Until you add to that, you must make a decision. Yay or nay? But one thing people should not be when we share the good news is neutral. It should be clear that this calls for a decision. So the message is the good news of the death and resurrection of Jesus Christ with the intent of converting the hearer to faith.
The Alternative with Dr. Tony Evans is brought to you by The Urban Alternative and is made possible by the generous contributions of listeners like you.